Are you tired of the pressure of repetitious routine? Let me alert you. You can live creatively. Creative living is making something new out of life. Don't be hammered into conformity. The monotonous routines of life can be broken. In you there slumbers so many unwakened powers.
Live expectantly, on tiptoe. Creative splendor is possible for you. There is joy in creative living. Know the touch of God that will make life come alive until it bursts with creative activity.
This is the new life movement, the rebirth of faith in these despairing days. This program is brought to you by the churches of this community. Create in us the splendor that dawns when hearts are kind, that knows no race or station as boundaries of the mind, that learns to value beauty in heart or brain or soul, and longs to bind God's children into one perfect whole. The New Life Movement presents Dr. Albert Edward Day, director and editor of the New Life magazine. Dr. Day's subject today is creative living. The next voice you hear will be that of Dr. Day.
Good day, friends. It is a privilege to come into your home and share with you the insights, the strength, and the purpose of the New Life Movement. No matter what your faith or church membership, this movement can help you to be a happier Christian. Our thought today centers in creative living. No one has truly lived until he becomes creative. There is a satisfaction in creative thought and deed not to be found anywhere else. Its price is often pain. But anyone who has ever looked upon some creature of his own imagination and his own skill, and in looking has become aware that something new has come into being, knows that the joy is worth whatever pain it may cost. When a mother peers into the face of her firstborn, when an author received from the printer his first book, when a musician hears the premiere of his first symphony, when a preacher, after many sermons which are the echoes of what he has heard and read, finally descends from the pulpit knowing that what he has just finished saying is uniquely his own and a new version of one of life's many lessons. When a poet rises from her desk, having at last shaped and fashioned and blended into a living whole, a poem which sings its message with distinction and grace. When a scientist in a flash of insight conceives a new hypothesis, and after criticism and testing arrives at a moment when he is convinced he can announce a new law or a new formula, there is a joy than which there is no greater, and with which there is no real comparison. It is little wonder that one who passed through such a creative experience said awesomely, "I have been in touch with God." There is something so super earthly about creative activity that the adjective heavenly is the only precise word which one can employ. It is a heavenly experience. One seems to be in partnership with someone outside himself who has inspired him, given him something he never could have fashioned of his own will. It is impossible to call that someone anything less than God. This creative splendor is possible for you. Everybody has something unique in him. Something which, if summoned into action by a resolute will, disciplined by hard study, touched by the grace of God, and consecrated to God and man, can give birth to the new, the different, the surprising. Even a kitchen can be an artist's studio. A kind neighbor sent us a salad the other day. It was different, and it was delicious. There was not a thing in it with which a lad who grew up in an Ohio garden would not be familiar. But the greens had been put together in a different combination and proportion. It was a new creation. When I ate it, I knew my neighbor had a creative spirit. Not content with doing the usual thing in the usual way, putting things together that had been together since the era of salads began, she used her brains. She experimented until she had hit upon a combination which thrilled the palate and enriched the table and strengthened the ties of neighborliness. And I knew that she must have had a lot of fun in doing it, and a real rapture when at last her experimenting mind achieved a truly creative result. There is a lad from my former church who worked in one of our airplane factories. In a shop where bottlenecks, false reports, and jealousies were destroying morale and seriously halting production. That lad is a Christian from a Christian home. He could not be content to let the situation remain as it was, nor would he accept the shrug of the shoulder which greeted his dismay, and which said, "This is the way we have always done it here. This is a war factory. What else can you expect?" He prayed about it. He talked it over with the folks at home. He went back to work with a creative idea and a purpose born out of listening to his parents and to God. The dishonest reports at that shop were ended. The jealousies were healed with apologies. The bottleneck was relieved. And in his own soul there is a new rapture, the rapture which belongs only to a creative spirit, who is not merely a repeater of what others do or the victim of a situation, but who changes what others do and brings about a new situation. And that, I remind you, was in a shop in a war factory. What is the secret? Nothing that you cannot share. If you would be creative, you must know the best that has been done by others in the particular field where your endeavor will be made. No creator begins with an empty brain or empty hand. He always has some material put there by his predecessors and associates. The creative artist knows what others have done with colors, subject, technique. The creative poet has saturated himself with the meters and imagery other poets have used. The creative scientist knows what has happened in other laboratories, the experiments made, the formulas evolved, the laws established. The creative teacher always embodies the work of other masters. Creativity is not born in a scorn for the work of others, but in appreciation of them and in a further insight which transforms. The further insight will come only if you live expectantly, on tiptoe, not routinely, not apathetically, not in rebellion against your luck and your lot, but rather say, "This is a new day. Something new can happen. Something different can be put into my work, my relationship with others. I will be alert to see it and to do it." If you want to make all things new, you must expect the new to suggest itself. Live with your whole self. That means, of course, summoning all your conscious powers, disciplining your intelligence, stimulating your imagination, developing your will by decisive action. It also means living with the subconscious. We are only playing, most of us, with this vast area of our life, where slumber so many unawakened powers, where lie unused so many talents. When you go to bed at night, think over what you must do the next day. Emphasize the fact that you want to do it better than you have ever done it before. Quietly tell your subconscious mind to find a way while you sleep. When you wake up the next morning, the first thing you do, open the door of the subconscious for any results it has worked out. Do it before you get out of bed, before you talk to anyone. Wait in quietness, and there plan the day. Live with God. In the morning, oftentimes during the day, be quiet. Be expectant, receptive. Lift your thoughts Godward. Ask Him, what shall I make of my life today? How shall I do this job, meet this person, solve this problem, surmount this difficulty? Wait trustfully, relax, be quiet, as if you really expected God to give you ideas, suggestions, desires. He will, and they will be creative, work-changing, life-changing. For He does make all things new, and He waits to help us to do the same. Attend the church of your choice and worship God in spirit and in truth. Talk with your pastor. He will help you to make the divine contact for creative living.
Listen to the New Life Movement again next week over this same station when Dr. Day will speak on the theme, The Human Comedy.